you fill us in on Trent Williams, please?
The MRI was negative. Still a little bit sore right now, so it'll be a day-by-day evaluation.
Still calling it a bone bruise?
Yes, that's what it is.
What did you think of how Jordan played in the place of Trent yesterday?
I thought Jordan did a pretty good job. You know, like all guys coming in, you're a little bit rusty, but I liked his quickness. He played hard. I thought he did a fine job coming in and doing the things that we were hoping they would do.
When you all signed him, he hadn't played since 2010, but how did he do picking up and getting back into the swing of things?
You know, he came in a little underweight. I think he was 270, and I think thinking that he would come back and play in the National Football League. And so when we brought him in, we had a chance to see what he could do, you know, relative to, you know, his quickness, his blocking in the run, blocking in the pass. We thought he did a good job. And didn't take him long where he gained 15, 20 pounds, and he's a big plus for us.
Mike, do you have any updates on Leonard Hankerson, Cedric Griffin, and Evan Royster?
Right now it's Cedric Griffin. It's a hamstring. You know, that's always day by day. With Royster, strained patella tendon. We'll see how that is day by day. And who was the last one?
Leonard Hankerson.
He's fine. Yeah, he's got the same problem that he's had, you know, that a little bit of turf toe.
Just going back to the game, the clock management at the end of the third quarter, I think you guys bookended a 3-yard run by Robert with timeouts at 4 minutes and 3:34. Can you just take us through what was happening when those two timeouts were used?
Yeah, that happens. You know, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does happen, you have to make a decision. Is it worth the timeout? And anytime you get the ball in that red zone or close to it, you know, looking at down and distance, that's where I'm looking at the clock all the time. And sometimes a play will get in late. It'll be the wrong formation will come up, combination of a lot of those things. And I'll use those timeouts from the sideline. I call them all the time.
Mike, the league said a couple of things today. They would review the incident between Kyle and the replacement officials mm-hmm. at the end of the game and after the game, and also that the league acknowledged that the ball was improperly spotted by 5 yards before your final play. Do you have reaction to those two things?
No, I actually told you that after the game. You know, that happened, and I knew it happened, and that was one of the reasons for all the ruckus there, you know, at the end of the game. They had most of their football team on the field.
Crawford forced fumble, Josh Wilson recovery. Did you see him go down? Because they immediately whistled it dead. Was he contacted when you got a chance to look back at it on tape?
Yeah, those are the things that always disappoint you. You know, I'm not going to go into detail on that, but instead of getting a touchdown, all of a sudden you have a, you know, you got a turnover, and you know that's part of the game. Sometimes it goes your way, other times it doesn't.
Coach, do you think Kyle Shanahan will face league discipline, or should face league discipline, for what he said during the game and after?
Well, I think we'll let the powers that be take a look at what transpired on both sides and let them make the decision.
It was striking how Kyle handled things compared to Josh Wilson the week before, where, you know, Josh right immediately after the game stands up, takes responsibility. Here we get a day late in a statement on paper. I mean, is that sort of example a coaching staff should be setting for its players?
I'm really disappointed you didn't ask a question like that. And I read a little bit about it today. You know, at least from my perspective, if all of a sudden Cal or any coordinator hasn't talked, you know, after the game for 2 or 3 years, and they talk on a Thursday, just like last week, you guys want to talk to Danny, you want to talk to Jim. I said, hey, I understand we had a special team didn't have a great day or a defense didn't have a great day, but you'll have to wait to Thursday. That's what we do. That's our protocol. And so we could change that every week relative to things like that. And so we got a process that we work through, and that's our process.
Well, shouldn't there be situations where you tinker with your process based
on I don't think so. No, if you want to ask a question, you can ask me. Cal's already sent out a statement this morning, just like I would have. You know, he wanted to talk to you guys, and I said, we're going to keep the same process going.
Mike, along those, were you disappointed in how he handled it?
Well, he thought the game was over. And I think he shared that with you. I'm not going to go into, you know, a lot of detail on it, but I tried to explain to you that the official told me that the game was over. We knew the game shouldn't be over. They had half their football team on the field. What I was trying to do is get a personal foul, talking to the official, because he had told me the game was over. I said, the game's not over, and I think we should have a 15-yard penalty. But, you know, that's, you know, that wasn't the difference in winning and losing the game. But, you know, those things do occur. You would like cooler heads to prevail. And, you know, that's what I expect. Well, like I said, I don't know if I was very cool in this situation. When somebody tells me the game is over and, you know, go in, and I know that we have a play, I'm not sure I was very cool under that situation. I was very, very strong with my words to the official, letting them know that it wasn't the end of the game. Now, is that cooler heads prevail, or is he trying to get one more play and explain what the rules are in the National Football League? And so you guys can evaluate that, come up with your opinions. But, yeah, I was very upset at that time as well. Now, I don't expect anybody to go out to the middle of the field. But when their staff was there and it looked like they were leaving, at least that was my understanding. I wanted them to come back very quickly and at least give us one last shot.
Mike, when you looked back to the onside kick, did you immediately think that Niles had it and you guys had recovered it? Did you think after watching the film that also that it had been recovered? What was your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, it just, you know, when I looked at it when it occurred, I thought it was could go either way. And then when you take a look at it, the angle that we had, it looked like he did touch it just before it hit the line. But unless you had that camera right on that line, it was really hard to tell.
Point. I know you couldn't review it, but did you wish that you had the ability to review it, or do you? Was that even a thought that entered your mind at that point?
You'd always take a chance like that. You know, difference with winning and losing a game. Anytime it's that close, you'd always like to take a chance, unless you got a great angle. But usually if you don't have a great angle, it's not going to be overturned anyhow.
Hey, Mike, on the opening play of the Wildcat, you know, you guys had said that you didn't see it on tape and all that, and they hadn't showed it. Sanu had, I guess, thrown that at Rutgers. Did you guys know that? And do you guys go into that sort of depth when you're scouting some of these teams to see what, you know, some roles maybe some of these guys have been using in college just in case?
Yeah, we do. We do. We go back. In fact, just got a tape on the Wildcat from Coach. I think 50 plays of Rutgers going against the Wildcat and some things that they've adjusted to. But, yeah, you go back years and years and you take a look at all different scenarios, and they did a good job.
You talked yesterday about why you decided to challenge the near down punt on the goal line. I'm just curious about the process. A lot of coaches do it differently. Do you make the decisions all by yourself on the sideline watching the scoreboard monitors, or do you have people in the booth telling you what to do? All goes into that decision?
Yeah, what you have is you got a couple people checking on the replays upstairs. And I got my flag. And obviously I get a chance to see it, but normally they get a chance to see it a little bit better than I do. So I'm ready there until the last second. And, you know, they usually tell me if we should throw the flag or not. And right after I threw the flag, that's when they said, oh, my God, we just saw another, you know. So that's when you know that you're not going to get it. Then it came up on the scoreboard about 15, 20 seconds later. But you don't have the luxury to, you know, wait for all those camera angles, but we've got people upstairs that look at it. And we kind of wait to the last second, and that was the situation. It was a little bit too late.
Sorry, to follow up on the Wildcat stuff, some of the players said that they did not know he could throw that pass. Should they have been aware of that?
They didn't know he could throw what pass?
The Wildcat. They didn't know that he had even done that before. Should they have been aware of that going into the game? Is that something they typically would be aware of?
Well, we work on the Wildcat all the time. And normally the Wildcat, normally the people that run it aren't very good at throwing the football. And if they can throw the football, it gives you obviously a little bit of advantage. I think we went through that enough with Denver last year. The advantages of a guy being able to throw the football from the Wildcat formation. But not too many guys that haven't thrown the football in the past can throw a ball that well and run in the money. Good play, good catch, good throw.
Mike, do you have an update on Pierre Garçon, and do you think he might be able to practice fully at some point this week?
I really don't know. You know, he's getting treatment every day. I'm hoping we get on a practice field on Wednesday. You know, he's feeling a lot better and hopefully ready to play. But I can't tell you at this time.
Obviously, Rob Jackson had the interception return and played well in other spots, and Chris had the half a sack. How do you think overall the three-man rotation with Marcus also working in there at outside linebacker didn't, and how much did that keep them fresher maybe for some special team snaps?
I thought it was good. Rob made, like you mentioned, a great play there in the end zone and good interception, and I thought Chris played well. Rob really competed. We kept him fresh. Marcus came in nickel situations and got some playing time in there. And overall, I thought we did a pretty good job.
Hey, Mike, looking back at it a day later, the last two, well, the one scoring drive, the 90-yard drive, and then the final drive. For Griffin, how impressed were you with what he was able to accomplish in that kind of scenario?
I was impressed. I was impressed with the way he handled himself, you know, throughout the game, especially in the second half. You know, he's a competitor. You know, he's going to make some plays. He's going to give you everything he's got. You know, he's into the game for 60 minutes. He wants to play well. You know, he's so competitive that, you know, he believes the sky's the limit, which, you know, usually the great ones do.
Mike, did you feel like in the first half the Bengals defensively were better prepared than your previous opponents for some of the things you're doing offensively with Robert and going forward? Does that mean you have to make adjustments, some of the things you did in the second half, and maybe some further adjustments if teams are beginning to adjust to you?
Well, what you do is you take a look at the scenario, you know, that we had in the first half. You know, what you try to do is keep yourself out of third and long situations. If you're in third and long too many times, usually good things aren't going to happen. We've talked about that before. You know, you can't get off schedule. We were off schedule. We were 1-for-6 with third downs. Most of those third downs were long yard situations. And, you know, if you do that, you can't move the ball. And I think the first couple drives of the third quarter, it was just the opposite. I think we had 1 3rd and 5 and 1 3rd and 7. We didn't make mistakes. We managed the clock. We managed it down the distance, and we were able to continue those drives. Third, fourth, and fifth series, and second half, we did just the opposite. We put ourselves behind the eight ball a little bit and got in those third and longs, and then we decided not to go for it in that 1 4th and 1. But, yeah, that's what usually dictates, you know, having a successful offense for a half or unsuccessful offense is, you know, not putting yourself in those long yard situations on third down, especially for a young quarterback.
We've asked you about, you know, the number of carries Robert's on pace for, and you've said that the games will dictate, you know, how often he carries the ball. That makes sense. Curious, though, after a game like yesterday, as physically demanding as it was, as many shots as he took, and can he last 16 games taking that many shots?
Well, I think we talked about this, too, is, you know, you never want to play catch-up in the National Football League, I mean, if you can help it. You don't want to put yourself in third and long situations. If you do, your quarterback's going to have a number of sacks. That takes some time, those third downs by young quarterbacks. I believe we had 6 sacks in the game. Same thing, you want to manage those third down situations. You keep on putting yourself in third and long, you're going to have some shots because that quarterback's going to concentrate downfield, and he's going to take some pretty good shots. Relative to the other things, that what you're trying to do is keep yourself or at least the defense off balance a little bit, and we'll do what we think gives us the best chance to win. But, no, you don't want a quarterback taking as many shots as he did yesterday, that's for sure.
Mike, we talked when Robert first got here about the importance of bringing in a rookie quarterback to match with a good defense so he doesn't have to carry too much of the burden. After the last two games, are you at all worried that that formula isn't in place as you thought it was and that he's having to do too much?
Well, you know, obviously, as you know, I told you the quarterbacks that have 8 wins or more, I went through detail explaining how hard it is for a young quarterback to have success in the National Football League, and that's what I was talking about, that the teams that the 5 quarterbacks that have 8 wins or more over the last 45 years, all 5 of those teams are in the top 5 in rushing offense, which we are. And I said 3 out of the 5 were in the top 2 in total defense. So I said they go hand in hand. You don't want to put too much pressure on that quarterback. If you do, then he's vulnerable to some of those shots that we just talked about. You're going to put him in situations that he's not ready for. But the thing I loved about Robert, he's not afraid of anything. He wants to go out there and compete. You tell him to pitch the ball, kind of hand the ball off and don't take it up the field, pitch it to the tailback, and he's going to compete. He's going to do what he thinks he needs to do to win. And that's what you like in a competitor. But as mentioned, you know, we got to You don't want to put a quarterback through that situation too many times.
Mike Hangerson played the greatest number of snaps amongst all the receivers. What did you see from him yesterday, and why was he willing and ready to embrace that role?
Well, number one, obviously, Pierre is down, and he has played well enough to earn himself a starting position. He played extremely well in that game, took advantage of his opportunities, and I thought he did a great job. The one that he went down the middle that Robert gave him a chance to get to, and he took a proper angle. I think we would have caught that ball if it, didn't run into the safety.
With the defense obviously disappointing, the number of yards and points it's giving up, looking at the tape, is there something you need to tinker with schematically? Is it just guys' mental mistakes, missing assignments? What goes into what's happened with the defense?
Well, overall, as I told our football team today, that there's some good things that happened during that game, but we've got to play much better as a secondary. Our secondary's got to, be much better than we played on Sunday. Anybody else?
Following up that with the secondary, what is it that you're not seeing? Is it missed assignments? Is it just not tight enough coverage, missed tackles? Is there anything that you would look at and say this is the area where they have to play better in?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, but, I share that with the team. I don't go through that. I'll let you guys look at that film and break it down. And just joking, guys, just joking, having fun with you. But, no, for obvious reasons, that's an area of concern. You asked me why we give up, that many points, that many yards, and you got to get to specific areas. I told our football team we got to be better as a group, and we're going to work on that this week and hopefully improve.
Mike Haslett said on Thursday you learn a lot from Kerrigan. Without playing without Arakpo this week. What did you guys see out of him? I know he's in the backfield quite a bit.
Played very well, both the run and the pass, got some pressure, knew his gap responsibility. I mean, anytime you hold a team to 3.3 yards per rushing attempt, usually you're doing some good thing. At least you're putting a team in a one-dimensional game. I thought we did get a little pressure on him at times, but we have to play better as a group overall in the secondary for us to accomplish our goals.
You mentioned the secondary play that some of those zero looks or the zero blitz that we talked so much about last year. I mean, a couple of the long gains, including one of the touchdowns, came on that look. How much of that was maybe at a time where it wasn't ideal or just not making a play on the edge?
Well, there's only one play, one time that occurred in the whole game, and that was a quick out, a six-yard rollout to the sideline. It was just a missed tackle. And so schematically, it was what they call a quick out. And Josh stumbled on it. He just kind of, his toe got caught in the turf, and what normally would be an 8-9 yard gain turned into a touchdown, and that's all it takes. But if he didn't throw it out right away, it would have been a sack or a fumble. And that's what you do to keep an offense off balance. You've got to have different things, and you never know when it's going to be the perfect call. But regardless of what the call is, if it's two deep, three deep, all out blitz. The other one I think you're referring to was a two-deep blitz that was thrown a little bit inside for about a 15-yard gain. But it wasn't a blitz. It was a fake blitz. But those are the things you have to work through, and that's you got to make sure you're coordinated and put some pressure on that offense.
Do you think you have a reasonably good chance of getting Brandon Merriweather back this week?
I really don't know, but he did take a lot of reps last week on the scout team. He's close. To say he's going to be ready this week, I can't tell you until we see him live in live situations.
With the zero blitz, how much of a, I guess when it comes to players, maybe their comfort or their desire to play a certain formation, how much of that ever plays into what you guys want to do? If guys don't want to play a certain scheme or a certain play, how much would you guys ever just back away from that if they're not comfortable in that?
Well, you're always trying to take a look at what your players do best. And at the same time, you want to keep an offense off balance. I had a guy like Champ Bailey. He wanted to run zero blitz every play. He wanted an opportunity. But the thing you got to make sure of is you put some pressure on that quarterback. A zero blitz is not very good unless you can put pressure on that quarterback and the guy's free. So a lot depends on the confidence of your corners. A lot depends on how well you disguise things to keep an offense off balance. But we know what bothers a team like us, keeping us off balance, and we'll continue to do that different to different offenses, hopefully, over the years to come.